Will the Senate please come to order? Will the members please vote to signify their presence?
Senators Ousterman and Kelly are excused from a call of the Senate.
Please stand for the invocation by Major Nyla Fankhauser of the Salvation Army. Senator Stevens, would you lead us to the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. That brings us to the certification of the journal. Madam Secretary.
I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 50th and 51st legislative days.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journals as certified by the Senate Secretary be approved.
Without objection, the journals are approved as certified by the Senate Secretary. That brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction? Senator Phillips.
Mr. President, we have in Ziegler's gallery some very special guests. There are members of the Legislative Assembly, and as I introduce the members, we'll hold an applause to the whole delegation from the Yukon. Many of you know that we've been having these legislative exchanges between the Yukon Territory and the state of Alaska for the last 20 years, and this is our annual exchange. In the Ziegler gallery, I have Mike McLaren, who is the Deputy Speaker. MLA, member of Legislative Assembly from downtown Whitewood, Yukon Liberal Party. Honorable Scott Kent, he's Minister of Economic Development, member of the Cabinet, and he's MLA from Riverdale, which is a suburb of Whitewood, and also a member of the Yukon Liberal Party. And we have Eric Chercloff, leader of the official opposition, and MLA from Mayo. Gary McRobb, a member from the Kalani region, which is the Haines Junction area, also a new Democratic Party member. And last but not least, Peter Jenkins, who is a member of the third party, the Yukon Party, right? And from the Klondike region. And then the two support staff people. Pat Michael is no stranger to many of us. He's the chief clerk of Yukon Legislative Assembly, and I might add that he's got a lot more responsibilities than our people, the equivalency of our people here, and a lot more authority. And then the deputy clerk, Floyd McCormick. Let's just give him a hand and welcome to the last.
Further guests for introduction? Senator Cowder.
Thank you. I have some constituents down here from Phillips on the Phillips, Alaska, on the Civil Action Program. Yeah, and they're seating in the gallery to my right. Senator Jason Billing. He's in Senate District 17. And also Brian Leach. He's in 18, and as well as Scott Riney in 18. Please make them welcome.
Further guests for introduction? Senator Stevens.
Mr. President.
It's my pleasure to introduce another member of the Phillips Civil Action Program, Mr. Dick Brooks. He's from Senate District F, House District 11. Please welcome Dick Brooks.
Senator Ward.
Thank you, Mr. President. Also visiting from Phillips, the Civil Action Program, I have Mark Ireland from House District E, Senate District E, if we can welcome him.
Further guest for introduction, Senator Donnelly.
Also with the Civic Action Program, we have two guests, Jim Kim and Elizabeth Poe.
Further guests for introduction. If there's no further guests for introduction, that brings us to messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House.
Message dated March 4th, stating the House passed and returned Senate Concurrent Resolution number 27, authorizing a recess by the Senate for a period of more than 3 days. The resolution has been referred for enrollment. Message dated March 4th, stating the House has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 254, Finance, by the House Finance Committee. An act relating to the teacher's retirement system, the judicial retirement system, the public employee's retirement system, and to the tax qualification under the Internal Revenue Code of those systems, amending the definition of actuarial adjustment in the teacher's retirement system and the public employee's retirement system, repealing certain provisions of the teacher's retirement system and the public employee's retirement system, amending the statutory limitation on payment of warrants to make an exception for warrants making benefit payments or refunds under various state retirement and benefit programs, and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs.
CS for House Bill number 276, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee. An act relating to temporary permits and licenses by endorsement issued by the Board of Nursing and relating to the delegation of nursing duties.
Labor and Commerce and Hess.
CS for House Bill number 281, Judiciary, by the House Judiciary Committee. An act relating to civil liability for providing alcoholic beverages to a person under 21 years of age and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce and Judiciary.
CS for House Bill number 306, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee. An act authorizing the Department of Community and Economic Development to issue permits to certain agencies to purchase, possess, and use certain drugs for euthanizing domestic animals.
Labor and Commerce.
Those are all the messages from the House today, Mr. President.
Communications.
Disclosure letters received in accordance with AS 2460 will be published in Senate Journal Supplement number 7 and Senate and House Joint Journal Supplement number 14. Those are all the communications this morning.
Reports of standing committees.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill number 308, Coastal Zone Management Program, and recommends it be replaced with the Resources Committee substitute. Zero fiscal note attached. Signing do pass, Senators Torgerson, Chair, Senators Taylor, Halford, Stevens, Wilkin. Signing no recommendation, Senators Lincoln, Elton. The bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill number 215, Common Carrier Liquor License, and recommends it be replaced with a Finance Committee substitute. Fiscal note attached. Signing do pass, Senator Kelly, co-chair, Senators Hoffman, Wilkin, Ward, Lehman. Signing no recommendation, Senator Donnelly, co-chair, Senators Green, Olson. The bill has no further referrals.
Rules.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill number 243 and recommends it be replaced with a Finance Committee substitute. Previous fiscal note attached. Senator Kelly, co-chair, signed due pass, and Senator Donnelly, co-chair, signed due pass. Also signing due pass, Senators Green, Lehman, Wilkin, Olson, Ward. Signing no recommendation, Senator Hoffman. The bill has no further referrals.
Rules.
The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill number 280 and recommended it would be replaced with a Labor and Commerce Committee substitute. Zero in fiscal notes attached. Signing do pass, Senator Stevens, Chair, Senators Lehman, Davis. Signing no recommendation, Senator Torgerson. The bill has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill number 295. Zero fiscal note attached. Signing do pass, Senator Green, Chair, Senators Wilkin, Lehman, Davis, Ward. The bill has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill number 302, Mental Health Professionals. Zero fiscal note attached. Signing do pass, Senator Green, Chair, Senators Wilkin, Lehman, Davis. Signing no recommendation, Senator Ward. The bill has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill number 324, Public Utilities Exempt from Regulation, and recommended it be replaced with Senate Bill number 324, Labor and Commerce, forthcoming fiscal note information. Signing no recommendations, Senator Stevens, Chair, Senators Torgerson, Lehman, Davis. The bill has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill number 328, Big Game Hunters Accompanied by Guide. Zero fiscal notes attached. Signing do pass, Senator Stevens, Chair, Senators Torgerson, Davis, Lehman. The bill has no further referral.
Rules.
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill number 331, District Court Jurisdictional Amount. Zero fiscal note attached. Signing do pass, Senator Taylor, Chair, Senators Cowdery, Terrio. Signing no recommendation, Senator Ellis. The bill has no further referral.
Rules.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill number 343, Best Available Technology Discharge Plan, and recommended it be replaced with a Resources Committee substitute. Zero fiscal note attached. Signing do pass, Senator Torgerson, Chair, Senators Taylor, Helford, Stevens, Wilkin, Lincoln. Signing no recommendation, Senator Elton. The bill has no further referral.
Rules.
The Transportation Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution number 41, zero fiscal note attached. Signing do pass, Senator Cowdery, Chair, Senators Wilkin, Taylor, Elton, Ward. The bill has no further referrals.
Rules.
House Joint Resolution number 37, congratulating Alaska Airlines on its 70th anniversary. Previous, zero fiscal note. Signing do pass, Senator Cowdery, Chair, Senators Wilkin, Taylor, Elton, Ward. The bill has no further referrals.
Rules.
The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill number 11, Compulsory School Age, zero fiscal note attached. Signing for placement on the calendar, Senator Phillips, Chair, Senators Cowdery, Terrio, Ellis. The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill number 297, Mental Health Trust Land Unit Employees, and Committee Substitute for House Bill number 291, Labor and Commerce, Licensing of Residential Contractors. Signing for placement on the calendar, Senator Phillips, Chair, Senators Cowdery, Terrio, Ellis. These bills appear on today's calendar. I have no further committee reports at this time, Mr. President.
Reports to special committee.
I have no special committee reports.
Reports to special committees, we have none. Introduction to Senate resolutions.
There are no Senate resolutions this morning.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill number 346 by the Senate Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to statewide school district correspondence study and state-supported homeschooling programs.
Yes.
Senate Bill number 347 by the Senate Finance Committee, an act relating to taxation.
Finance.
Those are all the Senate bills this morning.
That brings us to the consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 11 by Senators Terrio and Davis, an act relating to the legal age for attending school and providing for an effective date. Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the bill. Indeterminate fiscal note attached. Signing no recommendation, Senator Green, Chair, Senator Ward. Signing do pass, Senator Davis. Signing do not pass, Senator Lehman. Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends a Finance Committee substitute be adopted. Signing do pass, Senator Kelly, co-chair, Senators Green, Osterman, Wilkin. Signing, do pass, finance version only, Senator Donnelly, co-chair, and Senator Lehman. Signing, no recommendation, Senators Hoffman, Olson, and Ward. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends placement on the calendar, and they also adopted a zero fiscal note. Signing, for placement on the calendar, Senator Phillips, chair, Senators Cowdery, Terrio, and Ellis. There's a Finance Committee substitute.
Senator Donnelly.
Mr. President, I move national consent that the Finance Committee substitute be adopted in the original bill.
There is objection, Senator Ellis. The Senate will stand. Will the Senate please come back to order? The question before the Senate was the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 11. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to ask for an explanation of how the bill was reconceived or changed as it went through the process.
Senator Donnelly.
The original version of Senate Bill 11 amended existing statute to lower the age that children must attend school from 7 to 6. The Finance Committee amended the bill, and so that its current form, it addresses with the issue that was presented at committee, which is that when children are enrolled in school at age 6, they're still subject to the mandatory attendance requirement. But it doesn't make attendance for children at 6 mandatory. In other words, the issue that was presented at committee, the reasoning behind the bill, was that since the mandatory attendance age is 7, that when parents enrolled their children at age 6, they were not subject to the mandatory attendance, and they tended, there was a problem with the parents bringing the children to school sometime but not other times, and it was difficult for the administrators of the school to do their jobs. So the compromise solution that was reached in the Finance Committee was to say that if the parents do choose to enroll their children at age 6, they would be subject to the attendance requirement, but it wouldn't be mandatory that they enroll their children at age 6.
Is there further discussion on the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute? Is there further objection? Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute is before us and move the original bill. Madam Secretary.
CS for Senate Bill Number 11, Finance, by the Senate Finance Committee, an act relating to required school attendance and providing for an effective date. I have no amendments.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 11, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 11 is before us in third reading on final passage.
CS for Senate Bill Number 11, Finance, an act relating to required school attendance and providing for an effective date.
Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senate Finance Chairman's explanation of the differences of the bills, I think, pretty much explains what we're trying to get at. The specific issue that was brought to me by a principal from an elementary school in my district was that he did have one or two children in the school whose parents had chose to enroll them in first grade at age 6. But because the statute didn't say that school is mandatory until the age of 7, the parents were basically using the school as a convenient drop-off for their children. They would come 2 days 1 week, maybe 3 days the next week. And the problem that presented for the educators and for the school was the teachers were spending an inordinate amount of time trying to keep this child up with the rest of the class, but the kid was only coming half the time. And so it was diverting time and resources from the other students too. Basically, with the mechanism that the Senate Finance Committee has come up with, which is similar to what at least one other state of Washington has a mechanism similar to this, basically says if you choose the earlier age, age 6, if you choose to enroll your student then you've got to make good faith effort to make sure that the kid is regularly attending school so that it's not a detriment to the individual child and also not a detriment to the classroom at large while the resources are diverted to try and keep this kid up with the rest of the class. Thank you.
Senator Davis.
Mr. President, I'd like to speak to this bill. When the bill was introduced, I signed on as a co-sponsor of the bill because I'm interested in having the age, compulsory age, changed from 7 to 6. And I do know when the sponsor of this bill came before us, he gave his rationale as to why he was asking that the age be lowered. That bill did pass out of the Senate has and change in finance. What we have before us today is nothing really that a parent can already do, and we are not putting any resources in here to make sure that it can be enforced. And when I sit down, I want somebody to explain to me exactly how the school district would enforce what we are putting into law today. Now, according to what we have in front of us, it says that the only provision that has been changed is that this would allow a 6-year-old child to be enrolled in the school, and if a parent so choose to put a 6-year-old child in school, then it is their responsibility to see that the child continue to in school. But that is the case with every child that we have in school. And yet, our districts have many problems keeping children in school. We have no enforcement officers. There are no truant officers. The police can't carry out this task. The school district is not able to pay for that. So how would this help keep any child in school? This is a broader concept than what was brought before us, saying that a teacher or a parent or someone was having some problem about keeping kids in school. If you look into the record, you will see that all the school districts, in fact, the school boards were all down here last year. That's one of the bills that they adopted as a due pass bill to lower the compulsory age from at least 7 to 6. All of the municipalities and things are for that bill to be lowered. We preach accountability every day. The school districts got to be accountable. The children have to be accountable. The parents have to be accountable. And what I say to us today, we as senators need to be accountable also. And this bill does not help the education community do anything by saying if you bring your child to school at 6, then it's your obligation to make sure that they carry them out. When you look at what the other thing says, it's already said in Section A of that bill exactly what a child have to do when they enroll them in school. And all we did say, well, you can bring them at 6, and you have to follow the guidelines. Well, the children that we have now, almost all of them go to kindergarten. It's not mandatory that they go, but 97% of students in this state already go to school at age 5. What is wrong with us lowering the age to age 6 to accommodate school districts to make sure children do have to come to school? We hold them accountable in kindergarten. Of the law that we have in place now, a person can keep their child out of school until they're 7 years old. They may enroll a 7-year-old in school, and here you have a 7-year-old getting ready to start off. You wouldn't put him in kindergarten. So you put him in the first grade. You don't know if he's had any kind of homeschooling, and most of them haven't when they keep him out that long. And this bill will not affect homeschooling, because as you look at what's in law already, there's at least 11 exemptions on why you would not have to bring your child to school at the compulsory age. And any of those things would fit the category. And if you think that this is, it says, if you're homeschooling your child, that's one of the reasons you don't have to enroll them. And there's a lot of other reasons as to why you would not enroll them. 11 of them, in fact. There must be something that would meet the needs of any parent in this state. And yet, we don't listen to the education community. We go back and say we're going to fix this thing by saying, oh, we'll add Section A in there to say, if you decide to bring a 6-year-old to school, then he has to abide by what's in Section A of this bill. This is nothing. I want somebody to explain to me exactly how you expect for this to help anyone keep any child in school once he's enrolled. We're not able to do it now. There's no money to pay for enforcement of it. So someone please tell me exactly what will this bill do, other than saying you may bring your child to school at 6. They're already doing it. They're bringing them at 5. We're testing kids, profiling them at age 5 in kindergarten. We're testing them at grade 1, 3, 6, and 8, and yet we don't want to do what we know we need to do to make sure that children come to school early and ready to learn, and we had an opportunity to do something. And if we were to do the right thing, we would vote this down or send it back to the committee and let them fix it and work on what the bill title said was to lower the compulsory age from 7 to 6. I urge all of you, as you push that button, that you look at what you're voting for. And if you do believe that you care about the kids in this state, and I know we do, if you really want to help, then let's put things in force that people want. The school board members went all over this bill and asking us to support this bill, and you got tons of letters and calls saying, we want that, we need that. We want all children to be able to come to school at age 6. We should have been lowering it to age 5 and making kindergarten mandatory, but since we are so off scale on that and don't want to do it, we at least lower it to 6 and say, well, you have to come to school at age 5, at age 6. We want all the kids to come at age 5. Maybe next year we could look at it and lower that at another time. Some people seem to think simply because you make a change in the compulsory age that you are hurting homeschoolers, and that will not hurt them at all because they already have an exception to keep their children at home forever if they would like. But they don't have to bring them to 7 if they want them to come to school. So why would we, 20 members of this body, vote for a bill that really does nothing to help the education community? I urge all of you not to vote for this bill. This bill needs to be defeated on the floor, and let's go back to ground zero and work towards making this a better bill for the students, the teachers, the parents, and not just say we offer you a crumb and you take it. You know, I'm reminded of the story of Lazarus. I feel like, you know, you sit there and you're begging for the crumbs off of the rich man's table. And when people come down to us and ask us to do things or call us and ask us to pass bills, they're willing to accept almost anything. They want to do the right thing. And so you say, well, I offer you this. But you're not offering them anything. You're saying something that may make some people feel good because they made a change. But I'm here to tell you, this is not what the education community wants. We have committees. It went through the HES committee. If it was going to have any substantial change to it, it should have done there. But it got through finance. It was simply there because it was trying to find out that if there was going to be any financial implication. It is not. And it would not have been if we changed the bill. So why are we here voting on nothing today when we could be voting on a bill that would really be helpful to the people in the state? And that's what we've been elected to do. I'd urge all of you not to vote for this bill, and let's go back to the drawing board and do it right.
Senator Davis, I didn't interrupt the debate, but part of that debate would have been more appropriate on the motion to adopt the Finance Committee substitute, because that was the substantive time that if the Finance Committee substitute hadn't been adopted, in fact, it would have gone back to mandatory 6 as the HES Committee had put forward. But if we could try to keep on the topic of that, I think it's important to address the debate to the final version, which, of course, is very broad. So
I'm addressing the final version, and you know why I did not raise my hand to say that I challenged that? Because I knew that Finance Committee was going to be accepted. It had the due passes on it that the other bill did not, and even if I had stood up at the time to say, let's consider that, it would have probably been voted down at that point. And I didn't know that you could debate it in that term. The next time when something like that comes up, I will do it. But I still say that I spoke to the merits of this bill, and this bill does nothing.
Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a interesting that I'm standing up fighting against or arguing against my co-sponsor on this bill. And I realized that the previous speaker had signed on to the bill as a co-sponsor and was interested in that more global issue of children entering into the educational system at an earlier age. I understood that. The bill as it reads now is very precisely the issue that was brought to me by an educator, a principal in my district. And I guess I have to disagree strongly that the bill does nothing. If you are a teacher in a first grade class and you are having to spend an incredible amount of time trying to keep one student up and diverting time and energy and perhaps resources from the rest of your class, this bill means a lot to you. And it does a lot for you to manage and take care of educating those kids that come to your attend your class on a daily basis. So please, the portrayal that says that the bill does nothing is meaningless. If you're one of those teachers, that's absolutely wrong. This bill, as it currently is written, means a lot to you. I've spent a lot of time in my children's classes, especially in kindergarten, first grade, and I can tell you from the beginning of the school year to even 1 or 2 months in, the kids go through an amazing transformation, just as far as how the teacher can focus them on tasks, how they learn the routine of the classroom. So again, if you are a teacher and you've got a student that maybe misses the entire first month because their parents decide to take a vacation or something, and what's the district going to do about it? They can't force you to bring your kid to school. because it's not mandatory until the age of 7. If the student misses that first month when that shaping and conditioning to what the routine of the classroom is going to be, that teacher may be fighting that battle with that student when he shows up for the rest of the school year. It's terribly damaging for the student because more than likely he's going to be held back. His very first experience in the classroom setting, and at the end of the year, the rest of the class gets to move forward to the next grade, and he gets held back. That's not fair to the student. It's not fair to the classroom teacher. It's not fair to the rest of the students when you have one of these students and the disruptive behavior that can be triggered by only occasional attendance. So I understand the desire to address the bigger issue. I would welcome debate if somebody wants to bite that fight off with another piece of legislation. But I chose to go with the very narrow tailoring of the Senate Finance Committee substitute because it really does get to the issue that was brought to me, and it's something that I think we will have fairly easy success with this year. We'll deal with that problem. We can discuss the more global problem on another piece of legislation.
Senator Davis.
The previous speaker, and I appreciate his remarks. Many of the things that he said I agree with. The one thing that I do not agree with is that we have made this little narrow path so that teachers will have something to keep kids in school. First of all, we are talking about public schools. A public school have to step all children. And so if I, as a parent, choose to take my child to school today and let them stay there for a while and take them out and bring them back, you cannot refuse to have that child in school. So that has not helped the problem. We have kids that's being truant all the time, and nothing is being done because there's no law to enforce it, and the teachers, the districts do not have any money to do it. The police are not able to do it. So how have we helped the classroom teacher or anyone else by saying, if you bring your child to school, then it's your responsibility to keep that child in school? This bill might look like it does something, but it really does not do anything. So maybe every little bit helps. And maybe I overstepped it by saying it doesn't do anything, but it does not do what the education community wanted to do. And even though he's willing to accept this little narrow view of it, there's lots of work still that needs to be done. And at this point, I'd like to call an ease just for me to get myself together about what I want to do about my vote. Could I call an ease?
Senate will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order? Committee substitute Senate Bill 11, Finance, is before us in third reading on final passage. Senator Taylor?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Prior to the bill coming up, I was sensing and feeling personally some of the same frustrations that have been spoken to so well on the floor by my colleague from Anchorage, and was in the process of trying to prepare an amendment and did not have an opportunity to participate in the HES committee hearing or finance on this matter. But I was thinking back to my days as a district court judge when I would have juveniles before me and I would request from the school district attendance records and other records so I might be better informed as to this young person and what their needs and problems might be. And I was shocked at how many of the young people who ended up in juvenile court had terrible attendance records, that they had missed frequently months of school, not just days or weeks, but months. When you took a cumulative total, they might make it to school on a Monday or Tuesday, but then they'd miss the next 3 days. And so I took it upon myself, the judge, to look up the law. And the law at that time was a $50 per day fine to the parents. And if they failed to pay that fine, that the parents could be held and placed in jail one day for every day the child didn't make it to school. But it had a unique clause in it. It required the school board to bring the action. Well, of course, the school boards didn't bring the actions. They didn't want to get folks in town upset with them. And the district attorney's office would not bring the action without something from the school district asking them to do so. So as a consequence, literally across our state, thousands of kids were falling through the cracks because parents assumed, and we all assumed, somebody was supposed to be taking a role. And what we really found out in that process was The only people that take a roll is the school administration takes a roll, so they're going to get paid per head on every one of those kids that's, quote, in their school as of October. And they take another roll in January, basically. And in between, what happens to the kids? Well, depending upon your school district and your administration, they will make a very good effort to try and get those kids in there. They're calling the parents and so on. But is there teeth in this legislation? Is there teeth in our existing law that backs up that frustrated administrator and that school teacher that can't seem to get that kid into class? And the current law says, and I'll read it to you, it's section 1430.020 for violations. A person who knowingly fails to comply with Alaska Statute 1430.010 is guilty of a violation. A violation, by the way, carries a maximum fine of up to $300. Each 5 days of unlawful absences under this statute is a separate violation, which means the child would have to be absent 5 days in a row. So if he's only absent three, wouldn't apply. Only absent three the next week, wouldn't apply. That's why my colleague is expressing, I think, the frustration she's mentioned, is that this law, though we may adjust it here on the intake side and talk about age six or age seven, where are the teeth within the law and how is it being enforced? And I think that's a very good thing for us to debate and to consider. I know it's far beyond where the sponsor had probably intended the bill to go, but I think it's a worthwhile subject to talk about. And it's my understanding the bill will be reconsidered, and I will work with that person to try and come up with an amendment that might provide some additional teeth in that area.
Senator Lehman?
Mr. President, I served on the HES committee as well as the Finance Committee when we debated this, and I believe that, and I stated then, you know, we need to first look at what is the problem we're trying to fix. And the bill as originally introduced went far beyond the problem stated, you know, that the sponsor was trying to fix, and he's testified about that. And I believe this solution does get to that problem, and it's a solution that I can support. And I'll note that the representative of the Department of Education and Early Development, Eddie Jeans, testified in front of our committee that the committee substitute, Finance Committee substitute, gets at the problem the sponsor introduced to fix, and the department was in favor of the CS. And I'll just note that I appreciate the immediate past speaker pointing out that part of the law regarding the violations, but I wouldn't interpret that the way he did, that said that there would be no violation until 5 days had elapsed, but instead there wouldn't be the second violation until 6 days or more had elapsed. But I believe that you know, you can impose a violation on any number of days up to the first five, but I think what the law is saying is that beyond that, it would be a second violation or some number higher than that.
The question before the Senate is final passage of committee substitute Senate Bill 11, Finance. If there's no further debate, members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so committee substitute Senate Bill 11, Finance has passed the Senate by a vote of 14 yeas to 4 nays. Senator Lehman, the effective date.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on final passage be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call on final passage will be considered the roll call on the effective date clause. Senator Davis, did you wish to?
I'd like to move for reconsideration of my vote, please.
The bill notice of reconsideration is noted on Senate Bill 11. Madam Secretary.
Senate Bill number 297 by Senator Wilkin. An act moving employees of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Land Unit of the Department of Natural Resources from the partially exempt service to the exempt service. State Affairs Committee considered the bill. Zero fiscal note attached. Signing due pass. Senator Terrio chair. Senators Phillips, Stevens, Davis. Rules Committee considered the bill. Recommends placement on the calendar. Signing the report. Senator Phillips chair. Senators Cowdery, Terrio, and Ellis. I have no amendments.
Senator Lehman.
Move and ask unanimous consent. Senate Bill 297 be considered engrossed. Advance to third reading and place on final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 297 is considered engrossed. Advance to third reading and before us in final passage. Madam Secretary.
Senate Bill number 297, an act moving employees of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Land Unit of the Department of Natural Resources from the partially exempt service to the exempt service.
Is there debate? If There's no debate. The question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 297. Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Senator Taylor? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so Senate Bill 297 has passed the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas to 0 nays. Madam Secretary.
Senate Bill number 308 is not in our possession at this time. CS for House Bill number 291, Labor and Commerce, by the House Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to the requirements for obtaining a residential contractor endorsement. Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill. Previous zero fiscal note attached. Signing due pass. Senator Stevens, Chair. Senators Lehman and Davis. Rules Committee considered the bill. Recommends placement on the calendar. Signing the report. Senator Phillips, Chair. Senators Cowdery, Terrio, and Ellis. I have no amendments.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 291, Labor and Commerce, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute House Bill 291, Labor and Commerce, is considered engrossed, forced, and final passage.
CS for House Bill number 291, Labor and Commerce, an act relating to the requirements for obtaining a residential contractor endorsement.
Is there debate on final passage, committee substitute House Bill 291? If there's no debate, members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so committee substitute for House Bill 291, Labor and Commerce, passed the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas to 0 nays. Madam Secretary.
Citations honoring Mark R. Hamilton, honoring Audrey Breed, in memoriam Daniel A. Busich, in memoriam Thomas Skip Woodford.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the four citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations appearing on today's calendar are approved. Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation honoring Effie Cochran, Grandma Effie, be taken up as a special order of business at this time.
And take both at the same time.
And the citation honoring Richard Frank, Elder of the Year, also taken up at this time.
Without objection, those two citations are before us as a special order of business at this time.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the citations be approved.
Without objection, the two citations as special orders of business are approved. That brings us to unfinished business. Senator Lincoln.
Mr. President, I would ask, move and ask consent to be a cross-sponsor on House Bill 285, and that is an act adding a second verse to the official Alaska State song.
Without objection, Senator Lincoln will be added as a cross-sponsor on House Bill 285, as will Senator Davis and Senator Elton and Senator Olson. Okay. Further unfinished business? Senator Davis?
Yes, Mr. President, I'd like to ask, move and ask you none of consent that I be excused from the call of the House on the 13th until plain time in the a.m.
Without objection, Senator Davis will be excused as requested. Further unfinished business. Under unfinished business, I'm going to refer Senate Concurrent Resolution 25, Fish and Wildlife as a Public Trust, back to the Judiciary Committee at the request of the sponsor. Further unfinished business. Further unfinished business. Announcements. Special orders. Senator Lehman, 2
move
p.m.
that
on the
30th. Senate stand in adjournment until 2 p.m. on Wednesday, March 13th.
Please leave your floor packets on the floor so that one bill can be recycled. We are adjourned until 2 p.m. Wednesday.